Would you please turn to Isaiah chapter 28? Isaiah chapter 28. This morning, as I was ministering, the subject, well, the title was Our Priesthood Pattern. And basically, we looked at examples in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament about what it took for an individual to operate in the priesthood. Well, in the New Testament, our example was Jesus. And we looked at what was required for Aaron in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament. Then we applied it to ourselves. And what we found out is that the last, out of everything that had to be done, the last thing that was necessary was, in the Old Testament, the anointing oil had to be poured on. Well, that's symbolic of being filled with the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, the last thing for Jesus before he went out and began to minister, I mean, obviously he went into the wilderness to face off with the devil, but before all of that happened, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything else had happened before that, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the pattern throughout the New Testament was that people got filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the apostles, he said, look, I want you to go into all the world, and here's what I want you to do. But before you do that, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power, till the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and so forth. And so that's what they did, and then they went out from that point. And one of the things that they did stress was being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I shared at the end of the sermon how that, you know, you can do a lot for God. You can lead people to Jesus. You can baptize people in water. There's just a lot you can do for God. But when it comes to fulfilling everything that He wants us to do as far as operating in our priesthood, we're kings and priests unto God, you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There has to be that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say you must pray in tongues, but the pattern is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's really sad that today in the body of Christ, you have so many Christians just adamantly opposed to this, and you have a lot of pastors that come up with really good sounding theology teaching that it's not for today. And that's really interesting because what they're denying are all of the reports, all of the evidence from what you would call New Testament days up till now of people being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, healings, miracles, so on and so forth. It's there. It's documented. It's happened. But yet they ignore all of that. And they mean well, and they're leading people to Jesus, and thank God for that. But, you know, you could pastor a church of 15,000 people, but if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you will never truly fulfill your priesthood here on earth. It's just not going to happen according to the pattern in Scripture. One of the things that we that I mentioned this morning had to do with ministry of the Holy Spirit, John 14, John 16, and other places. And we stress so much here in this church about praying in tongues and what it will do. Well, tonight what we're going to do is just a brief review of what God has promised concerning praying in tongues. Now, I'm just going to read some verses to you to lead to kind of lead into it, set a foundation. In Isaiah 55:11, God said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when we go through the Bible, we see what God has declared, and He says that it's going to do what I say it will do. So if we see something in Scripture that has to do with praying in tongues, then from God's perspective and His declaration, whatever He has said about praying in tongues, it will prosper. In other words, it will produce. It will work. It will do what He says. And then in Titus 1, verses 1 through 2, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And then Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So God has said that his word will not return void. It accomplishes what he said it will accomplish. And then we find out God can't lie. So therefore, anything that we see in Scripture about praying in tongues, it will happen. Absolutely will happen. And there is nothing about our emotions which proves or disproves it's happening. I've heard people talk about when they're praying in, well, let me just put it like this. Somebody's praying in tongues. Well, I tell you what, I was praying in tongues. I felt the Holy Ghost all over me. Well, I guess then it worked that time. Then the next time somebody said, same person, well, I was praying in tongues, I didn't feel anything. Well, it must not have worked then. Because, you know, you didn't feel anything. No, it's not about what you feel. If you are praying in tongues, you will get the results God has promised. So now let's take a look at some of these. In Isaiah chapter 28, this is a prophecy. The Apostle Paul referenced it in 1 Corinthians 14. But in Isaiah 28, verse 9, whom shall he, this is God, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. See that? This is a prophecy about praying in tongues. Now, based on this passage alone, what happens when we're praying in tongues? Well, God is teaching us knowledge. You know, what kind of knowledge? Well, obviously, it's going to be related to the Word. God is teaching us knowledge. God is teaching us knowledge. Now, a variation on that is over there in John, where Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, he'll teach you all things. Well, God teaches us knowledge. How? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When? When I'm praying with stammering lips and another tongue. And not only is he teaching me knowledge, look here, he's making me to understand doctrine. Now think about this. Do you realize that this one passage alone, if it were truly put into practice in the body of Christ, I don't just mean this church, I mean the body of Christ. People wouldn't be arguing about eternal security. People wouldn't be arguing about healing. People wouldn't be arguing about the ministry of the apostle. Is it still for today or not? So much of this stuff, nobody be arguing about it anymore. Because God is telling us right here, if you will spend time praying in tongues, then, you know what? I will, verse 11, speak to you. I will speak to you. So what we see then is that as I'm praying in tongues, God is teaching me knowledge. God is making me understand doctrine, and he's speaking to me. Oh, I just wish God would speak to me. God is saying, not a problem. Spend some time praying in tongues. I'll speak to you. I'll speak to you. So this right here, honestly, this right here solves a whole lot of problems for most Christians. If you pray in tongues, what's the opposite? Well, if you don't pray in tongues, then what we see right here, it's not going to happen. Not the way it's described in here. It's not going to happen. Oh, you can still be taught. And you can still come to a place of understanding some doctrine. And, well, the whole thing about God speaking to you, I mean, yeah, He wants to. But you know what? The more you pray in tongues, the easier it's going to be to hear God speak. I remember one time, Kathy and I were with another couple, and the husband and I, we were in the front seat. He's driving. I'm in the passenger seat. Kathy and his wife are in the back seat. And, you know, we're talking about the Lord. He and I are having our conversation. They're having theirs. And I said something about, yeah, well, you know, one time, you know, I was praying or whatever. God spoke to me and He said that some of blah, blah, whatever. And this guy, bless his heart, I mean, he's Baptist to the bone. And he's driving. He looks at me and says, God spoke to you? And I realized right then, oops. I said, well, yeah. And a nice guy, super nice. You would really like this guy. But I realized, you know, I don't know what he thought about that. I really don't. But it was a surprise to him that I would hear God speak. And I don't know if he was thinking that I'm hearing voices. But God speaks. I mean, it's not like He's hushed up. And I was raised in a church, a denomination, which said God doesn't speak anymore. But that's not true. Because God's telling you right here, if you'll pray in tongues, I'll speak to you. God is telling you, He'll talk to you. So if you're challenged in life concerning, oh, God, don't know what to do, oh, God, this, and oh, God, that, you ought to be spending more time praying in tongues. Now, we're not leaving out worship or anything else, but tonight we're focusing on praying in tongues. Now, this is a promise from God. He can't lie. And this promise right here will not return void to Him. So when He spoke this, when He delivered this promise to humanity, He set in motion this process. It's not going to end. Now, obviously, when we are in eternity with Him, the need to pray in tongues is really not going to be there. So while we're here in this fallen world, right here, God says He'll speak to us. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Now, I know that some of what I'm going to share with you tonight, you already know. So it's reinforcement to you. But we need that from time to time. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, now this is talking about the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to God. According to God, or according to the will of God. So what do we see here? Well, when I am praying in tongues, that gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to intercede for me. Now, granted, as I'm praying in tongues, He may be praying through me about other things, because I'm also praying the perfect will of God. But He's helping me. And where it says here, He's helping our infirmities, well, we've talked about this before, those things in our lives that, you know, oh, I just can't seem to quit this, or I can't seem to make this change. He says, well, I know what's going on in your life. I know why you can't make this, why you haven't been able to conquer this thing yet. So you let me pray through you, and I'll pray through you the answer to this, and I'll help you understand what you need to do to conquer this problem, whatever it would be. So He's helping me when I'm praying in tongues. He's helping me in the area of infirmities. What else is He doing? Well, He's helping me pray correctly, according to the will of God. When I don't know how to pray, but it tells you right there, when you don't know how to pray as you ought. Every single one of us have been in that situation to where we don't know what to pray about. We don't know how to pray about a situation. We just don't know. But we want to pray. And the Holy Spirit says, not a problem. Because I'm God, I know the beginning from the end, and I know what the outcome should be. Give me the chance to pray through you. And I will pray according to the will of God. And right along with that, when you're praying in tongues, you can't pray amiss. The Bible talks about, you know, when you pray amiss, you know, consume it on your own lust, so on and so forth. That's not going to happen when you're praying in tongues. No way. It is impossible to offer up an incorrect prayer when you're praying in tongues. Because this is the Holy Spirit praying through us, interceding through us and for us according to the will of God. Now this is a promise, an absolute promise from God. All right, what else? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, if you went to a doctor, you know, oh, doctor, it hurts. And the doctor says, well, you have Gitche Gumi syndrome. And he says, you need to take these pills. And you need to take one in the morning and one at night. And Gitche Gumi syndrome is going to go away. Say, all right. So you go and you get your prescription filled. And then you don't take the pills. And you go back to the doctor. Oh, doctor, it hurts worse than ever. The doctor says, I don't understand this. I wrote your prescription for the pills. One in the morning, one at night. Have you been taking one in the morning and one at night? And you say, well, no. He says, well, have you been taking any? And you say, well, no. And then he asks you, well, why not? And you know what you're going to say? You're going to say the same thing that your kids say to you when you ask them, why'd you do this? What? I don't know. Yeah, boom. You knew. You knew exactly. I don't know. Every Sunday morning, I'm back there in my office. Duke comes back in. Duke, what are you doing? I don't know. I said, yeah, you do. You're walking around. You're doing something. So here's God. And we go to God. Oh, God. And we lay it out before Him. He says, well, all right. Have you been praying in tongues? Now, He knows, all right? So it's best just to be honest with Him. Have you been praying in tongues? Well, I did the other night when I stubbed my toe on the bedpost on the way to the bathroom. Ow! Shamalaba ding dong! Ooh! He says, okay, well, that's a start. That's better than nothing. But, you know, he says, you know, have you been praying in tongues? No. So, why not? Well, I don't know. He said, but I promised you. I've told you everything it will do. So why wouldn't we do this? Well, now look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The words that the Holy Ghost teacheth. What do you think he's talking about there? So here in this passage, what do we see? When we're praying in tongues, we're speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. We're speaking the wisdom of God. And not only that, but we are speaking the deep things of God. And not only that, but we are speaking the things that God reveals unto us by His Spirit. Now this is important, because He's saying when you're praying in tongues, God is going to reveal some things to you that otherwise will not be revealed unless you're praying in tongues. Now that's pretty critical. And not only that, but as we're praying in tongues, we're going to be praying the things that are freely given to us of God. Everything that God has made available to us, we're praying this out in tongues. Now granted, you know, by the time this message is over and you're thinking, well, I'll tell you what, that settles it. I'm going to spend time praying in tongues. I'm going to go home tonight, spend the rest of the evening before I go to bed praying in tongues. Okay, well, praise God. But remember, this is a process, all right? It doesn't all happen overnight. It is a process. Just like when you go to school, you start out in first grade. When your first grade year is over, you don't start asking for your diploma. They say, oh no, you got 11 more years to go. Then you get your diploma. Right, we have more time of praying in tongues to go before we start moving into this realm of everything praying in tongues will do for us. So we're praying out the mystery of God and everything that He says will happen in here. The things that God has made available to us. We're praying this out, the understanding of it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, turn over there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So, when I'm praying in tongues, what's happening? God says, well, you're not speaking unto people, unless somehow there's tongues for interpretation, but that's not what we're talking about here. You're praying in tongues, he goes, well, you're talking to me, but you're praying mysteries. You say, well, what mysteries? Well, let's put it like this. Everything you don't yet understand, as far as your walk with God is concerned. All the things you don't understand. God, what is your plan for my life? That's a mystery. The more you pray in tongues, the more He's going to reveal to you His plan for your life. Listen, I don't know who needs to hear this one. But please, please, don't ever see your life or think of it as being a dead end. It's not a dead end. You hear me? Yeah, well, all I'm doing is making French fries at McDonald's. But it's not a dead end. No, it's not a dead end. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I just work at a car wash. It's not a dead end. When you're a Christian, your life is not a dead end. Now, you may be doing some things in life right now, as far as employment is concerned, that you don't really like. But stop looking at it as a dead end. It's not a dead end. This is just what you're doing right now. And I'm telling you, if you will continue to pray in tongues, God's going to help you understand that what you see is a dead end is not a dead end at all. He'll turn on the light. And you're going to see it for what it really is. You'll see the direction in your life. So you're not a failure. Listen, you're not a failure. The moment you got born again, success was birthed in you. You hear me? The moment you were born again, success was birthed in you. Now it's just a matter of that success coming out. So no matter what you're doing right now, do not see your life as a dead end. So I'm praying out these mysteries. And even the mysteries are a mystery to me. I don't know what I'm praying. It's a mystery to me. Well, you're praying out the mysteries. And sometimes, as you're praying out these mysteries, the day comes and a mystery is revealed to you and you didn't even realize that you were struggling in that area. Like, oh, wow, I never even thought about it like this. God says, yeah, I know. But you needed this revelation. So that's what happens. I pray in tongues, and I'm praying out the mysteries. And that's a big umbrella, because there's a lot underneath that category of mysteries. But I'm praying it out. And then in verse 4, He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, in this verse, it's really interesting. We could do a whole sermon just on this verse. God is saying that when you prophesy, you edify the church. All right, another way, prophesy, this is not simply a matter of, yay, in 3 days, such and such. Yay, in 4 days, such and such. And it's definitely not, oh, the eclipse, yay. No. You know how many eclipse prophecies didn't happen? I don't, because I ignored them. I have no idea. Oh, my goodness. Folks, please, don't jump on the bandwagon of every event that comes up. That's another sermon. So anyway, here. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, very simply, when I am praying in tongues, I am edifying myself. Now the tongues, that comes from God. All right, we know that from the Holy Spirit. So what I'm doing is I am gauging the Holy Spirit for my, and I'll say it like this, spiritual growth, my spiritual edification. And what I'm doing is I'm edifying myself to the point that I can turn around and deliver prophecies for the edification of other Christians. Okay, what are those prophecies? Well, again, it's not, oh, the Lord has shown me that in 10 days, something, some or other, whatever thing. No, it's delivering truth to people. You know, man, you got people out there, Christians, they're so caught up in all this prophetic stuff. Toss it out the window. Seriously. I'm not saying you toss the ministry of the prophet out or the prophetic move of God out. What I'm saying is you've got people out there that have left this church. I'm not going to say how many who've left this church because we're not prophetic enough. They obviously do not know what prophecy is all about, because this is an extremely prophetic church. Just because I don't stand up here and, yeah, thus saith the Lord every time. No, this is an extremely prophetic church. Sermons are a type of prophecy when it's truth. It's a prophetic declaration of the mind of God for a given time. Now, I'm praying in tongues and I'm edifying myself so that I can turn around. And when he says edify at the church, he's not talking about you're going to stand up in a pulpit and, you know, become a full-time preacher. The church, the body of Christ, fellow Christians, fellow believers. You'll be an edification to them. What you will not be is a parking lot prophet. See, well, what do you mean by that? There are some people in churches, it's almost like they cannot wait to make sure you know how much they know about God and the Bible. And I've been around people like that, and you know what? You got to choose your battles. Because if you try to bring correction, when people are like that, how do you tell them to hush? How do you tell them you're off base by doing this without offending them? You know, people, I'm telling you, there are folks come to me, oh, pastor, whatever it is, if there's anything you need to say to me, just say it. I'll not get offended. And I can't tell you how many times, I'm going to put it in my words, the Lord has said, boy, hush up, don't say a word. Just let them ramble. Now, he didn't say it just like that. That's my version. So I just sit and listen. I just sit and listen. Okay, you know what? You don't need to prove how much you know. You read the book of Proverbs. It talks a whole lot about keeping your mouth shut and listening. Okay? Very important. All right, moving on here. So I'm edifying myself to the point that when the time is right, then when I speak, I am prophesying or delivering the mind of Christ for a given moment. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is really interesting, because in essence what it's saying is when I'm praying in tongues, I'm having supernatural direct communication from my spirit to God. and I'm bypassing my mental faculties. That's amazing. But we all know it's true, because you can sit and pray in tongues, and guess what? Be thinking about all kinds of things. You can be praying in tongues and make out your grocery list. You can be praying in tongues and trying to figure out how to sort the laundry. You can be praying in tongues and thinking about what you're going to cook for dinner. We've all done it. You know, your mind rambles off someplace. It's like your spirit is saying, all right, mind, you just go on about your business. You just do your thing. Me and God, we got a thing going on here of our own. Your spirit is praying, direct communication with God. That is incredible. Your understanding is unfruitful, but you are in supernatural divine communication with God. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty cool. Now look over in Jude. I tell you Jude chapter 1, but if you don't know by now, there's only one chapter in Jude. So Jude chapter 1. Look at verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in tongues. Now, this one, to me, is kind of a challenge. See, over there in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what happens is, you know, Jesus said, the sower sows the word. So I'm feeding the word in me. I read it. I'm listening to it, putting word in, putting word in, putting word in. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But when I'm praying in tongues, it enables the Holy Spirit to pray through me the eternal truth of the word I've sown in me to produce a deeper level of a faith walk. Now, how does that work? I don't know. I mean, I cannot give you a formula to explain this. But it's almost like I'm praying in tongues, and when I start doing that, then the Holy Spirit begins looking around inside me, and He sees all the word that I've sown in me, and He starts working with that word like a tool, and I'm being built up on the word. I'm being built up on my most holy faith. And the result is going to be I will have a more successful faith walk. In every area of my life. Not just pray for people and get them healed. No, it's in every area of my life. Trusting God. When things are looking difficult. When things are looking bad. When you get the bad news. My faith walk is now at a place that stuff does not take me down. That bad news. Well, we're going to have to let you go. We're going to have to fire you. You know, we're cutting back on staff. Well, some Christians, that puts them in a tailspin. But see, when I'm walking at a level of faith that conquers those emotions, then I say, well, I know this isn't the end. I know God isn't going to forsake me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So somehow, some way, it's going to work out. Well, I don't like the way it is right now. You know, I may have to, you know, cut back a little bit on some things. Might even have to cancel my cable TV subscription. Good glory. I don't know how I'll survive. I guess I'll just have to read my Bible more. Now, I'm being silly about this, okay? But you understand what I mean. The more I'm praying in... put it like this. If you're not in the Word, the Holy Spirit doesn't have as much to work with on the inside. So we need to put the word in. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more word we put in, we pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit works with us and that word. We're being built up on our most holy faith. Very simple. Now again, all of these are promises from God. So God is saying, look, if you pray in tongues, all of this is going to happen for you. Now it's not a maybe. It will happen for you. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote, you don't have to turn to it, I'll read it to you. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, he wrote, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Well, we can talk about singing in the Spirit another time. I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding also. Praying with the understanding, that means with your known language. Praying with the understanding is invaluable, it is important, and it is needful. If it weren't, the Apostle Paul wouldn't, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, have written that in Scripture. It wouldn't be there. So, yes, we need to do both. Pray with the understanding and pray with the Spirit. But if we don't pray in tongues, then guess what? We don't get the benefits of praying in tongues. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And I've heard people, born again, Spirit-filled, I've heard it said, but I can pray with the understanding and get the same thing. But you can't. Not when God is saying, pray in tongues and all of this will happen. Now, don't get me wrong. You can accomplish a lot praying with the understanding. All right, so don't misunderstand me on that. But you absolutely can. However, praying in tongues is like takes it to a different level. It's a different category of praying, and God has made promises in His Word. If you pray in tongues, all of this is going to happen for you. All of it. There are no exceptions. But you have to do it. God has promised what will happen to us when we pray in tongues, and so folks, you know, we have to pray in tongues. That's just the way it goes. And the more you develop the habit of praying in tongues, the more you're going to do it. Now, once again, we are not discounting confessing the Word, praying with the understanding, worship, and we're not discounting any of that. But praying in tongues is absolutely vital. So when we pray in the Spirit, we get praying in tongues results. It is a guarantee from God. You cannot lose. Praise God. So I tell you what, let's spend about 10 minutes praying in tongues. 10 minutes of edification, 10 minutes of mysteries, 10 minutes of God speaking to us, 10 minutes of receiving teaching from the Lord. Amen?